In review, this series is Let's Pray. We started talking about, hey, pray alone. What is that all about? And how necessary it really is. Pray together. That's what we talked about last week. And today we're talking about, hey, praying in faith. Pray in faith. That's pretty important. So thank you, Steve, though. It's just kind of a visual reminder. So, okay, go ahead. Now that you just did, that's like standing up and sitting down. This is exercise for our screen. Go ahead and lower that screen for a few reminders. I'm a big fan of review because I forget so much stuff. I always need to hear it again. I bet that would help you too. We're defining this prayer. Prayer is communication with God. Remember the two parts of that we're talking about? It's what? Speaking and then listening. It's not just blah, blah, blah. God, I want this. I want that. I want the other thing. Give me this. You know, it's all about me. Blah, blah, blah. No. Even when you're praying for others, it's not just about that. That's like a one-way conversation. You ever have people like that? All they do is talk and talk and talk. And, you know, you like them, but sometimes after a while, you don't like to be around them all that much because it's just blah, 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 you know. Sometimes, you know, God built us for a relationship that is communication two-way. So even with God, He likes to hear from us. He absolutely wants to. But He wants us to be able to hear from Him as well. And we said He speaks through His Word. So that's important that we're in God's Word on a regular basis. I believe in reading through a book of the Bible. For me, it's in the morning when I do that. I read a couple of verses at a time and pray over that and let the Holy Spirit apply that into your life throughout the day. I think that's a pretty effective way, one of the effective ways to do that. But we talked about that when we pray, that there's a mystery of prayer. Again, real important to know, and especially for those of you guys that are here the first time this morning. When we pray, we need to remember that we're not informing God about anything. He knows it all. The fancy theological term, He's omniscient. He knows it all. He's also omnipotent. He's all-powerful. So He doesn't need us at all, you know, whatever. But He includes us because He loves us. And He loves relationship. And He gets glory, not in some selfish way, but rightly. You know, He's awesome. He's holy. He's just. He's everything that's perfect. You know, so He gets glory when we participate with Him in this process of asking. And then in His timing, in His way, He'll answer that prayer. And we go, oh, wow, praise You, Lord. And when we do it together, that's not just addition. That's multiplication. That's exponential, man. That's 1 + 1 people praying together that equals 100, equals 10,000. Because it just kind of goes on and on and on from there. So there's that mystery of prayer. When we pray, our hearts, our minds, and our lives are changed. Again, this is another important reason that God has us pray instead of just doing it all Himself. Because He wants us to grow. He's interested in our spiritual growth. Wouldn't it be so tragic, you know, if one of these babies, you know, we're still in a baby boom here at Warehouse. That's kind of fun. What if one of these babies that was just born just stayed 6 pounds, you know, and 19 inches or whatever it is, however big they are. You know, a year from now, that baby, you know, Micah was still the same. We'd be freaking out, man. We'd be calling Mayo Clinic. We'd be doing all kinds of stuff because that would not be right. Something would be wrong. But sadly, that's the case with some believers. You come to the Lord and just you have not grown. So we're here not to condemn or say, hey, you're a loser, you know, get out of here. But no, we're here to say, yeah, we understand that struggle. Let's walk together. Let's do whatever we can to encourage one another towards love and good works, doing those right things that help us to grow. That's why we're talking about this thing that's so basic and foundational in the Christian walk, such as prayer. I need to hear it again. I need to kick in the pants saying, hey, how's your prayer life? And really, prayer and life do go together. Anybody remember three times ago I preached on prayer. We had those signs for prayer, life. Anybody remember that? I was tempted to do that again, but we don't have enough time. So maybe next week. Prayer is like water for the soul. We mentioned the human body is comprised 60-65% of water. You can go a long time, days, weeks even, without solid food. But you can't go that long without water. You need that. Because that's how God designed us. Same with prayer. We need to be in constant communication with God, both speaking and listening. We need that, or we're going to die spiritually. And you might be like a zombie, like a corpse, spiritually walking around if somebody had spiritual, you know, X-ray vision, which God absolutely does. And so anyway, again, no, not a word to condemn, but a word to encourage. Say, hey, let's learn to pray. Pray alone together. Pray alone better. Pray together more and better. And to pray in faith. This is going to be real important. We talked about the fact that, hey, that we need to have a living, vital, vibrant relationship with God. Again, not be spiritually shriveled up or dead. But man, you need to be alive in Christ. I need to be alive in Christ if I'm going to be a good witness to my neighbors. If I'm going to be in the city and out there and representing Jesus well, I need to be in fellowship with the Father. Remember we talked the first week about the model, an example of Jesus? Man, if he needed to get up early in the morning and pray, yeah, I do too, so do you. We need to get out sometimes alone and pray, or just, man, make prayer a big priority, certain seasons in our life, big decisions, all that stuff we talked about. Jesus needed it, we do too. Let's do it, not just think about it, but let's do it. Living, vital, vibrant relationship with God. Let's go for it. Let's go for it. Let's do it. Anyway, pray in faith is our topic here this morning. Here's our big verse, Hebrews 11:6. Again, some of you guys, oh yeah, Hebrews 11, the Hall of Fame of Faith. Man, that's a big section about faith right there. This is what we need to learn from that. Without faith, let's read this together. It's important. You guys ready? Clear your throats. Do that thing. You guys ready? All right, here we go. Use your preaching voice. Here we go. And without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Hebrews 11:6. Sorry, Gary. I'm still in the acoustic patch, so we're good. Let's talk about this. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Whoa. You mean I can do something that's not pleasing to God? Yeah. If you are choosing to grumble and not be a person of faith, not even be open to that, that's not pleasing to God. And that's not a place you or I should be happy with or want to be. Because anyone who comes to Him... So this is talking about, I think, really comes to the Lord for salvation, for forgiveness of sins, then comes to Him even day by day in prayer. So if we're coming to the Lord, again, that's what prayer is about. Just like I come in the door at my house and talk to Irene or the kids, anytime we come to the Lord, we must believe that He exists. That's bottom line. Or you're just going through a game or going through the motions or something. Yeah, we need to believe. Yeah, I'm not an atheist. I believe that God is real, that He exists. Not just some philosophy or be nice to people kind of thing. But there's more than just saying, yeah, there's a God. That He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Two important words to me, I think, here to look at. That He rewards people. God treats different people the same. It's not that, oh, we're all His children. Yeah, we all live under a blanket or really a shower, a downpour of what theologians call the common grace of God. That, yeah, you have food to eat, not because you're such a great person. You got a home to live in or a bed to sleep in, whether it's Wayside or Hesed or your apartment, your home. You had that because God is kind to you. He's benevolent, not because I'm so good or you're so good. No, He's gracious to us. And grace is all about getting stuff that you don't deserve given to you. We don't deserve anything. We deserve the fires of hell now, right now. Not a first chance or a second or a third chance. We don't deserve any of that. We're sinners. We're guilty. Judgment. That's it. Anything beyond that, but beyond death in the lake of fire right now, is a grace of God. Whether it's you and me who can confess Jesus as Lord, or those who would call themselves atheists, Buddhists, whatever. God is still gracious, giving life, breath, food, family, so many other good blessings. But He does reward those who earnestly. Earnestly means not the opposite of earnestness, like, whatever, if I get around to it, if I have time later, whatever. No, earnestly is like, yes, I realize God says this is important, I'm going to go for it. You earnestly seek God. That means priority. That means saying, yeah, I want to do this. So what about me? What about you? Are we willing to do this, to earnestly seek Him? And the cool thing is, if He tells us to do it, it's possible that it can be done. Jesus said, you know, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Lord, here I am, fill me up. Here's my cup. We sang that a bunch of times. Just like rock and roll. It's pretty repetitive. But that's okay. So's the Word of God often. Yeah, fill me up, Lord, fill me up. Yeah, it's what King David said in the Old Testament, many others in Scripture, you and I. You know, that's, prayer doesn't have to be real fancy. You know, God wants us to be honest, you know. But we've got to be willing to earnestly seek Him. What if you don't feel like that? Well, then you start there, saying, Lord, I don't really feel like it. Please change me. I know it's the right thing. My feelings don't line up, but we don't live by our feelings. We live by faith, and faith will lead us into obedience. You know, there's a line that I first learned by Glenn Kaiser singing it in a Resurrection Band song. I learned later it was a quote from Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was a German pastor during the World War II era, and he actually died in a camp, a death camp, because he was involved in a plot to assassinate Hitler. A phenomenal guy who really loved God and did a lot of wrestling with how do you live for God in a fallen world. But he said, Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, whatever one would ask of faith, all this stuff about being a Christian and blessings of God, whatever one would ask of faith, obedience will give. Not that you earn that stuff from God, but if you're willing to obey God, that's where you need to be. And the obedience proves the faith. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Again, not that we're going to be perfect, but we got to be willing to try and move in that direction. That's why the body of Christ is important, because we help each other to do that. So, yeah, God exists, and we know that, yeah, this is worth it, that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. So let's do it, man. Let's be in that category, okay? And we're often like that guy I mentioned the first week, the father whose son was possessed by the demon who often, you know, threw the kid into the fire and stuff, and his... Jesus was up, I think the Mount of Transfiguration, I think, with that time. But he came down, Jesus did, with his few friends there. And, you know, this guy was still messed up. And his dad, you know, said, I believe, but help my unbelief. So that's kind of where we're at. That's an okay place to be. God doesn't condemn you. He takes you at that place and helps us to grow. I have to admit to you that I struggled with preparing this message this week because I thought, Lord, is that really what you want us to focus in on? This, what I'm about to tell you. And he said, yeah. And I went back and said, you sure? You really? This is it? And yeah. And the Lord kept impressing and didn't hear an audible voice. But I've lived on this long enough to know when I'm hearing from God and when I'm not. And this was definitely good. So especially tune into this. I think God's got this for many here. If you're saying, oh, I want to grow in faith, yeah, I've heard this for a while, but gosh, I struggle. Well, maybe this might be a key that really helps you, and you've probably heard this before, but that whole thing of obedience and application, if you do it, I think the Lord's going to help you turn a corner in this praying in faith. God is revealed in His creation. Many of us here at Warehouse have gone through the Truth Project. It's a Bible study series. You watch a 45-minute DVD presentation all about a Christian biblical worldview. And then you have, if you're at Mike Cochran's house, you have a little bit of coffee and dessert and then come back for a discussion of that. And this is one of the first things that you find out about. Do we have that, Dave? God is revealed in His creation. Here we go. Psalm 19, I'll just read it. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day, they pour out speeches like, man, you can't miss it. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. So we're talking about being obvious and clear here. They have no speech. They use no words. It's more of a visual. No sound is heard from all of them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the earth. And Paul zeroes in on this in Romans 1. You can make a note of that. He says, hey, all the world is guilty because all the world has been exposed to the truth that there is an intelligent God who has intelligently designed all of this. There's structure, there's order, there's beauty, there's all of this. So there's a witness to everybody, whether you're some pygmy in the jungles of Africa, there's a witness of a holy, righteous God that He has given in creation. And even so much more than that, but just, the beauty, the strength, the order, the ability of that Creator. That's what the heavens speak to us. Again, so remember the stars and all of creation. I'm freaked out. Again, not by the ants. We have, it's summertime, and a couple of years worse than others. Some years we don't get them at all. We have these little tiny ants that love to come up on our countertops in the kitchen, especially if you leave a watermelon out. I always think of, man, that's like Yogi Bear, you know, Ranger Rick. You know, they're out there carrying out your watermelon. But they're real little guys. I mean, and they're not bad. You just squish them, and they're, you know, you rinse your hand off. It's fine. You kill them, but there's really no squishing that goes on. So it's almost like a video game, which I'm not very good at. You know, you're trying to. But it's kind of fun, and I always, you know, kind of my thing is meet, and I don't know if they do or not, but it's like meet your maker. Boom. You know, sorry about that. Well, they get to meet their maker, I guess. So though they don't have a soul, we're not teaching heresy here, but you know what I love about that experience, and I guess kind of a weird way, but that points me to an awesome, magnificent Creator God who is so smart. And these are really, these are small ants. They're not like regular outside ants. These are like really, really small, you know. But the ones running across the counter and the countertop, and like, I'm not ready to squish him yet, but I go about an inch ahead just to see what he's going to do. Guess what? He turns and he runs the other way. I go over there. Boom. That dude is smart. How does a little ant that big get that smart? Right there, the heavens declare the handiwork of God. Creation tells us, hey, there's a very, very, very wise Creator who has given just this desire on all His created beings that, hey, life is good. That little ant saying life is good. Yeah, I want to hang in there. I want to get the watermelon, you know. Sorry, buddy. Meet your maker. Boom. You know. Sorry, Lord. I don't know. But then, we know it also that is like, man, God, You could do this to me in a second. He could, but He doesn't. You know, just think of some little ant saying, yeah, I'm an atheist, or blah, 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 You, God, you know. How easy would that be to do to any of us fallen human beings? But talk about common grace and goodness and benevolence. Wow, wow, wow. So anyway, we're talking about God is revealed in creation. So Genesis 15, verse 5. If you have your Bible, I encourage you guys, and again, we don't want to be legalistic. If you're good at that on your electronic device, do that. But bring a Bible. I'm in charge of ordering the Bibles. I have to admit we're kind of behind here. So soon we'll have another case of Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, check with me next week or Joe in the office. We'll make sure you get one. Bring your Bible. Most of us are able to afford a Bible or have one at home. Genesis 15:5, kind of give you the setting on this. You've got this guy Abram, who was a rich dude in the land of Ur, and he was one who had faith in God. Again, God wanted to make a people for Himself and develop this nation that would know Him as the covenant, the life-giving, eternal God, not just the God of the rain or the sun or the moon or fertility or blah, 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 but the awesome God who loves them and who made them. And there wasn't anybody that, you know, God would or could do that with yet, because mankind, ever since Adam and Eve, have been sinning. And God, you know, wiped the slate clean with Noah, but even after that, you know, Noah gets drunk and, you know, the rest of the story, you know. So it's still been bad news, but God has this guy Abram, who's later gets his name changed to Abraham. We won't talk about that, but that's why he's still called Abram, because the name change back then signified their character being changed. But God promises to him, hey, I'm going to make a mighty nation from you. You know, and he's like, because he's an old dude, he's beyond, you know, the normal physical ability to reproduce, and so's his wife, but God still has them come together in intimacy, and which was kind of weird too, you know. Think of two like old people in their 90s or 100. Well, don't think of that then. Good thing I didn't say any specific people. But anyway, they did, and it happened, you know. What a Viagra moment, you know, or something, Cialis or whatever. But that's often, we, you know, some people think, oh, God is a prude, He doesn't know about sex or whatever. No. I mean, that's the miracle of Abraham and Sarah. It really is. And on Sarah's side, too, that they were able to even have that moment of, maybe it wasn't one, I don't know, that the time of intimacy together. And eventually Isaac gets born. But this is way before that happened. And this challenge of faith is still out there. And you can think of Abram in his mind saying, God, is this really going to happen? You know, but here's what happened. Verse 5, he took him outside. This, he is God. God took Abram outside, outside of his tent. Again, he was a rich dude. He had a big tent. He said, look up the sky and count the stars. If you can indeed count them. Could he count them? No. Just like now with the big Hubble, you know, and the mega Hubble and all this other stuff. No, they can't count them. It's just gazillions of light years across the universe, and there's more out there than we knew about. That's what it is. God said to Abram, so shall your offspring be. So this very simple lesson of getting outside and looking at creation and letting the stars speak. There's this something that happens in the soul of men and women and kids when you see the glory of God in His creation. And guess what Abram did? He traveled around a lot too. He went out all the time to look at the stars. Guess why God said, hey, look at the stars? They don't change. They're going to be there till there's a new heavens and a new earth. Heavens spoken of in Isaiah and in Revelation there, that's talking about the skies, all of this natural creation. God's gonna remake all of that. You know, but we look at that, man, and it's kind of cool that the light you're looking at, you know, just in God's eternal plan, you know, scientists tell us, hey, that light started a long time ago and here it is here. You know, whether that's apparent age or whatever it is, it's still the deal. You're looking at light just traveling through space and according to a physical speed. Whoa, that'll blow your mind if you think about it enough. But this is a homework point for you and for me. Get outside at night, look at the stars. Say, God, help me to know you better than I know you today. And I bet he'll do something pretty powerful. You know, and Abram, you know, he didn't have like the casino lights, you know, and all this other ambient light in his community. Like, well, where's the stars? You know, you walked outside the tent, and if the fire's out, man, you see the stars. You know, so what does that mean for us? Well, maybe take a walk somewhere out in the middle of the park, you know, down the street from your house, or maybe hop in the car and go outside of town. You know, do it. Do something. Make this something where you got to get off your butt and go do it. Abraham had to get outside. Do it. And I bet God's going to encourage you. And if there's something you've been struggling with in faith, you don't know if God can really do that in your life, that's part of your homework. Get outside at night. Look at the stars. And don't do it in a, you know, all right, 5 seconds. Cool, check. I'm going home. Going to McDonald's. Whatever. No! Hang out there. Be patient. Pray. Meditate. Whatever. Mellow out. Okay? And kind of in a similar way, so we're called to look up, okay? That's the look up there. Second of all, look out. Look all around you. So look up and then look out. This is Jesus in one of my favorite, well, I keep saying that about every part, but the favorite part of Scripture here, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 6 here. Jesus says, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or your body, what you'll wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more important than clothes? Man, yeah, the body's more important than clothes. Your health is more important than whatever you wear, having the latest trends. Not that that's always wrong to like stuff and whatever. But he says, listen to this. Look out. Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap. They're not freaking out and working hard, store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Father. That's why, again, Father. Father's Day. It's important. Father. God does not have sex or gender, but He has chosen to set up a society and culture where fathers are important. That's how He is revealed to us as the perfect Father. But your Father in heaven feeds them. Aren't you much more valuable than they are? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Big fat rhetorical question. No. Can't do it, so quit doing it. Quit worrying. So look at the birds. Spend some time looking at the birds. Don't go like right under them if they're ready to poop. You know? Or like, let them be out there. And I learned that once. If you want a good place to go look at birds, This, again, this might be your homework. Go out to Nelson Lake. You know, you go out to like Hankus Road, and then you go. Let me see, on Deer Path. Keep going on Deer Path, and it turns into, if you stay going straight, which happens to be because Deer Path takes a jog to the right, but just keep going straight. And before you reach Main Street in Batavia, you can also get at Main Street and then take a left at Nelson Lake Road. It's basically this. It's a bird paradise, basically. And my buddy Vern Lavia said how many hundreds of bird species there is out there. And it's just awesome. Take a little family trip, or take you and go out there, Nelson Lake, and just sit there. They've got a little bench, there's a little lookout. Just sit there. Whoa, birds chirping. If you really want to go for it, there's about a 2.5 mile loop around the lake. You can walk around there. Really awesome. But look at the birds of the air. You worry about clothes. I think next slide here. Look at the flowers of the field. They don't labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon, the richest dude that there was. In all of his splendor, he wasn't dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, tomorrow, thrown in the fire, how much more will he clothe you of little faith? Man, look at some of the flowers of the field. Again, you can do that at Nelson Lake. You don't even have to go that far. Go out to your yard. Look at the beauty, the intricacy, the design, man, of flowers, of plants. Whoa, it's pretty amazing. So again, do that, but stop and think about it. Worry about saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? The pagans run after these things, yet your Heavenly Father knows you need them. But, again, one of the huge big buts of the Bible here, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. You do that first, put God first, delight yourself in the Lord, all of that. Then, again, it's blessing follows obedience. If you're lacking, are you delighting in the Lord? And you know, are you really seeking God's kingdom and His righteousness? Or is it you first and your plan and your worries and your frets? No, seek Him and rest in Him. If He's given you Himself and His righteousness, say, Lord, that's enough. Everything else is the blessing. Then all these other things, what am I going to wear? What am I going to eat? Where am I going to live? He'll give that to you. He promises to do that. That's why I love this church. There are people here, a few that make a good buck, and there are many who are homeless here. God's word applies to everybody. So cool. Awesome. Yeah. But we have to seek Him first. I love this. Verse 34. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. The ultimate realist is Jesus Christ, the ultimate optimist and the ultimate realist. He says, don't worry about tomorrow. Yeah, there are going to be some troubles there. Each day has enough trouble of its own. But guess what? Jesus is going to show up tomorrow too. That's awesome. He's going to help us. Last but not least here. So we've already had look up at the stars, look out at the birds and the flowers, the plants, all of that. Please don't just blow this message off. Do it within this next week. Do it in a relaxed way. No matter where you live or whatever, you're able to do it. God's going to give you an idea on how you can do this. And again, take your time, meditate on some stuff, ask God to show you stuff, think of what you're struggling with the most. So look up, look out, but then last of all, look around. Man, look around for signs of God's kingdom showing up. Because God is all over the place. God is at work in Southwind long before even Riverwoods got there, or we got there on Saturday. You know, we think, oh, we're going to be the saviors. We're going to go in. And no, we're not. God's already at work. He's at work at the Outlaws Clubhouse. He's at work where you work or your school or your neighborhood already. You just got to show up with a heart of love and humility and openness and friendliness. God will use you. God shows up because there's a duality in life in a fallen world. That just means there's kind of two parts. There's one it's not like they're even. That's Eastern thought. It's not yin and yang, that there's the good force and the evil force. It's not what we're saying. God kicks Satan's butt. Satan's created. He's a loser. He's lost according to the cross. Jesus has triumphed big time. So no, it's not a yin and yang thing we're talking about. But there are two realities here that often show up. God's kingdom or sinful systems. And so we can always kind of see both of those at work. I always talk about when I'm telling the ongoing Aurora transformation story. Dave's right, I am going a little long, but not that bad. Almost wrapping up here. But when we moved in here in 1995, you look out the window of McCarty Park, the first part of John 10:10 was working. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. When a guy got shot and killed a month later across the street and a few months later in the parking lot back here, that's the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus, those are His words, talking about the enemy of your soul and mine, who hates us, who wants to, if He had His will, He would rip off everybody. And guess what? God in His sovereignty often lets bad things happen unless Christians give a rip about it and start to care together, start to pray together. And then, guess what? When we do start to humble ourselves and do that stuff, He responds big time. So now we're able to look out our window not at people getting mugged or drug deals going on. We're able to look out on McCarty Park and see kids from the daycare playing in the fountain out there. How awesome is that? That's the second part of John 10:10. Jesus says, but I've come to give life, to give it more abundantly. Everything good comes from God. And that's His kingdom showing up. So what does this mean? To look for examples of God's kingdom. To look for the poor being helped, the naked being clothed, the hungry being fed, the lonely being welcomed into families. That's part of what was happening in Southwind Harbor Village yesterday. Part of what's happening in the Paddle Sports Festival is, as conversations happen and people are pointed to Jesus. You know, and as more people in the city of Aurora find out, oh yeah, God is real, and He's Jesus. And then start to find out everything else included in that package there. So we are able to choose what we want to really open our eyes to see. God at work, God's kingdom, or self-rule, the Holy Spirit, or flesh, righteousness, or holiness. All this stuff. If you're taking notes, two passages of Scripture that really zero in on this. Galatians chapter 5. The Apostle Paul talks about the sins of the flesh. You know, sexual immorality, drunkenness, all kinds of selfishness, anger, fights, all this other stuff. But then he talks about the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. So the contrast of black and white, of good and bad. What are we seeing? What are we choosing to see here? Romans chapter 7, Paul says, man, I know the right thing to do, but I blow it every time. That's Romans 7. But Romans 8 is like, hey, when I submit to the Holy Spirit, God's like putting gas in the gas tank, man. Boom, I'm finally able to do what I was designed to do. I'd say, we're able to obey God because the Holy Spirit lives in us. Awesome. Awesome stuff. But God wants us, part of our having faith is to have enthusiasm. And once in a while I have people, oh man, you're really enthusiastic. Really? Oh, that's cool. Thanks. But that really enthusiasm comes from two Greek words. I think we've got a slide for that one too, Dave. Here we go. From the Greek, the Koine Greek, entheos. En means in, theos is God. If you're enthusiastic, that's being positive because you're talking in God. You're talking about God. It's not like, oh man, things are so crappy, it's bad, or blah, 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 you know, this and that. You know, well, okay, then you're not being, you know, your life is that way because you're choosing to see that. You're not choosing to look around and see the kingdom of God that's right there. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is among you. Whoa. You know, so we need to be in theos, in God. We need to be folks who, as followers of Jesus, and have the best future ahead of us and can have the best future today. We need to be enthusiasts here that are seeing the kingdom of God show up. If you're open to that, God's going to show it to you. And it might break your heart in a good way. That's totally cool. Go ahead and stand. We need to pray. Been going long here. But Lord, we say thank you for your word. Thank you for faith, Lord, to trust you. God, I admit that I need to grow in that, Lord. Probably all of us could say the same thing. I don't want to re-preach this message, Lord, but help us to be able to see you in creation, Lord. This week, would you remind us of this, Lord? Would you help us go before us, go with us, go behind us? Lord, we need you. And bless our brothers and sisters who couldn't be here today, Lord. Strengthen them, walk with them. Lord, and may this week be awesome in your kingdom. Open our eyes to see you at work. And as we give to you our offerings, Lord, what you've already given us, it's all yours. We pray that you would bless that, multiply it for the work of your kingdom. We love you, Lord. Give you ourselves. In Jesus' name, and everybody say, amen. Amen.